You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, Dog Pound, visit Arby's for an exclusive Cleveland Browns Dog Pound Cup for a limited time only while supplies last.
Arby's, we have the meats.
The meats.
Get in my belly. I'm definitely a meativore.
Oh, dude, I am all meat. I mean, I like a good veggie salad, but give me some meat, specifically steak, and it's going down.
For real. 216-578-0850. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Of course, we've got a little bit of business to discuss as well before we get there. The Browns yesterday placed Scott Solomon on injured reserve, and they claimed defensive back Don Jones via waivers from New Orleans Saints. Jones is a 5'11", 195-pound defensive back in his third NFL season out of Arkansas State. He was originally a seventh-round pick by the Dolphins in 2013. He's appeared in 34 career games as a reserve, 23 career special teams tackles. He was in all five games with the Saints this season, one special teams tackle. So, interesting, right? You put Scott Solomon on IR, leaving you with Nate Orchard, Barkevious Mingo, and Paul Kruger, and Armani Bryant now at outside linebacker.
Yep.
So that's why you feel comfortable with
yes.
four. Now, they added another defensive back. Does that say to you that they are not confident in Joe Hayden's ability to play this weekend against Denver?
Yes, I do believe so.
So if that's the case, that also means that they are not comfortable with either Justin Gilbert or Johnson Batamosi as the fourth corner.
I agree with that as well. And that's what that's where I thought you were going first. Because in my mind, Joe Hayden being a part of concussion protocol and the way in which the protocols have predominantly gone, that a guy who is in protocol is out a week.
Not quick.
Not quick. The turnaround is not quick. I mean, for going back to the Tennessee week, Josh McCown looked us right in the face and said, I'm good. I should be all right. But on Friday, he was not cleared.
No.
Not cleared on Friday, not going to play Sunday.
And we haven't seen anybody go into it
no.
and come right out of it.
Keekly's been down 2.5 weeks. He's now going to be back finally, right?
It certainly is a very, very tough thing. And just to update you guys on the official injury report coming out of practice yesterday as well for the Browns, a distinguished list once again. Dez Bryant, shoulder limited. Isaiah Crowell, toe limited. Carlos Dansby, ankle limited. Sean Drone, back limited. Again, the people who did not participate were Tashawn Gibson with his ankle, Joe Hayden with his concussion, Craig Robertson with his ankle, Randy Starks, Joe Thomas, but those two were just rest. And then you had Brian Hartline with a thigh, full practice. Johnny Manziel, right elbow, full practice. Mitchell Schwartz, thumb, full practice. Josh McCown, ankle limited, but he was out there. Robert Turbin, ankle, he was limited. For the Denver Broncos, Owen Daniels, not injury-related. Peyton Manning, not injury-related. Evan Mathis, hamstring, did not practice. Aqib Talib, ankle, did not practice. Demaryius Thomas, neck, did not practice. Juwan Thompson, running back, hamstring, did not practice. Guard Luis Vasquez, did you ever play with him? Did you guys ever overlap?
No, he came in right after I left.
Right after you left?
He's a good player.
Not injury-related. DeMarcus Ware, back, did not practice. Fowler, Harris, Cody Lattimore, and Sam Brailo, an offensive tackle, all limited. And then K. Anuki Knee, defensive end, he is full, and Bolden Foot, also full. So we'll keep an eye on it, but no indication that Manning, Mathis, Talib, Demaryius Thomas are in danger of missing this game. DeMarcus Ware is the one guy that it looks like will not be able to go for this team. As the offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, really should have been the AFC, if you could have had the AFC coordinator of the week, I'd put him there. Looking very like strong in that sweatsuit. That was like had a little bit of a Sopranos look right there. John DeFilippo, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so that's the injury updates for you as we head into this Thursday, first day of week 6. We got Andrew and Medina joining us on the phones now. Andrew, welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I just had to chime in with my victory dance or my touchdown dance if I ever had the chance in life, which
go.
I won't. But I think I'd stash away a terrible towel somewhere in my jersey, pray that I'm playing Pittsburgh, get to the touchdown, and use it to do a little toiletry.
Would you be squatting down while doing this?
I think I would just take it from the front to back and right in front of the fans there in the end zone. I think I would just take it from front to back and give it a little cleaning.
Only against the Steelers, or would that be against anybody?
If I was at Lambeau, I'd probably moon them instead of jumping in.
But would you then toss the towel into the stands?
I think I would stomp it.
Stomp it. Okay. Stomp the poopy towel.
So this makes me want to tell a story.
Okay.
That I don't know if it's okay to tell. Finish your call, and then I'll tell it. And then I'll tell the story. Go ahead.
That's it, guys. I just wanted to give you my take.
Beautiful. I like it. Good.
Thank you for the call, man.
A little bit of in the face. Andrew, thanks so much for the call. All right. So here I am, senior year in college. My little brother in my fraternity was this guy by the name of Matt Parker. Loved Matt Parker. Great guy, but just at times, like, got a little confused out there in the world. You know, maybe it wasn't as focused at that point in his life as many of us are as juniors in college, which he was at the time. Maybe he was a sophomore, but I think he was a junior. So he gets into this kind of a bad rut, I'll call it, where he enjoyed watching National Geographic lion videos and then just kind of like hung out. It was in like a bad place. And he's down on his finances. And
seems like a real ladies' man.
Didn't want to ask. He actually did all right with the ladies. You'd be surprised. Very good-looking guy. Was a great athlete in high school. Good athlete college. But just like he got into this like weird place for a little while. He got out of it. Fortunately, he's doing great now. Great guy. But there was a while where he was down on his money and didn't tell any of us this. And our apartment was kind of like on the second story. You had a little bit of a deck, and it was just basically trees behind you. You were down in Atlanta. And all of a sudden, you know, one day we went out there and we looked because his deck, he was on his own side. And then me and my buddy Tag were on the other side. We went and we looked out there and there's all these socks hanging from the trees, like that he had just like thrown socks out there. Well, he had run out of toilet paper and didn't tell us. I had given him toilet paper, didn't want to get money from his parents. So he was doing what Andrew described with the terrible towel with tube socks, and then because you can't, what, you're going to flush it? You can't flush it.
No.
And then he would sling it out into the tree. So there are all these, like, stained socks. That is how he wiped his butt for, like, a month.
No.
I swear.
How many socks are out there?
Hundreds.
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 And are you the only apartment that had access of, like, to
yeah, because we were on the back corner. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, is that the craziest thing you've ever heard?
Smelly tree.
I mean, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
You might
man?
Do that one time in your life because you're so desperate to do it.
I mean, maybe I'm embellishing hundreds, but it was like
50?
For sure.
If you did it for a month.
For sure more than 20.
Okay.
Like 100% more than 20. No embellishment.
Desperate times calls for desperate measures.
Apparently,
but like
so.
Once in your life, like grab some filler paper or some tissues or something.
Right.
But why wouldn't you go to class and like gaffle one from the
scaffold like a Kleenex box.
Yes.
Listen, man.
Come on.
They're not all smart at Emory. don't let it. Don't
I mean, he's watching National Geographic, and the best he come up with is his own property, his socks.
Well, listen, lions don't have anything. You know?
Yeah. But I'm saying like the hunters and the guys who live out there.
Listen,
don't do it with their socks.
I don't know if he would make it. I don't know if he'd make it in Botswana.
Yeah, grab some Leafs or something.
Man. I don't know, man. I'm just telling you, man. I'm telling you. It was crazy. Crazy. All right. Carl and Solon, welcome to the show. I had to tell. That's the only thing made me think of. Carl, what's
hey
going
guys,
on, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Man. How are you?
Hey, question for you. I don't know if I have this right. Now, who played the strong side or weak side linebacker last year? Kruger?
Last year we had Kruger was what they called the rush linebacker.
Yes.
And then the opposite linebacker on the outside was Minga or Jabal Sheard.
Correct.
Depending on.
Sheard,
on,
probably.
Yeah.
Now, are they playing Kruger in the same place, or it seems like he's playing the strong side all the time?
He's playing both now. There are times he lines up at rush, and there are times he plays the Sam position.
Armani's playing more rush when he's in.
Well, obviously. Last year he had 11.5 sacks. This year he has, what, a half?
Yes.
Well, you know, one of the problems with coaches is they move guys around and take them out of their comfortable places where they've been successful, and they put them in other places instead of filling it with another player. And a lot of times they just screw up two positions. So, and, you know, it's like taking your guard and making them a center because you don't have a backup center, and now you're weak at guard and center. You know what I'm saying? Hello?
That was our situation last year.
Yes. That was our situation last year when we tried to move John Greco
right,
into center.
Exactly. And I mean, as far as I'm concerned, last year's mistake on center was the coach's mistake for not having a true backup center. They didn't have a true backup center, and that screwed us up. Now, this year, they got a guy that's Mord in the backup center, and, you know, I don't know. I think they overcompensated now.
With a first-round pick?
But what?
With a first-round pick, you mean, in Cam Irving?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you needed a backup center, you could have found a backup center. You didn't have to have a guy that could back up on three positions, okay, that doesn't play, and he was a first-round pick. Doesn't make sense to me.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with
you. So, there's things they do. I mean, last year, Taylor, I know he got hurt, but the guy was a nose tackle, and they were trying to move him to the outside. Like, everybody could do anything, you know. We could move the guy anywhere, you know. He really couldn't. But they try it all the time, and it doesn't work.
So, and man, I wanted to ask you, with your experience in a 3-4 defense, how different are the two outside linebacker positions?
They're very different, at least in the schemes that I've played in. And I think if you look at the Denver Broncos, you're going to get a snapshot of the scheme that I played in. I think DeMarcus Ware plays the Sam position, and the Sam position was the position that Sean Merriman played in, where they're extremely limited from a coverage standpoint. You know, i.e., kind of the role that Paul Kruger played for last year, what, rushing 96% of the time, 95% of the time.
He's down to 81 this year.
And the will position outside, which it was what it was called or is called in this Denver scheme and the scheme that he's playing, was where Sean Phillips was in. And his was probably, again, 80-20. So one guy's because a 3-4 defense is unique in the fact that these guys are essentially stand-up defensive ends. So they're coming most of the time. The only reason that they may, in fact, drop is they're not in man coverage. They would only drop if it's zone coverage and you're bringing a four-man rush and one and not the other, or a zone blitz where you bring one and not the other.
Right. So in the Browns' defense, they have the rush linebacker.
Right.
Then they have the Sam.
And the rush is called rush because 95% of the time, he's rushing. So
that's where Armani Bryant's been.
Correct.
Then you have the Sam on the other side.
Right.
And then on the inside, they have the Mike, and they call their other inside the Will.
Yes. So Sam, Mike, Will, rush.
Right.
From strong to weak.
Right.
Yep.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Hopefully, they can continue to get pressure. Now, Paul Kruger, as the caller pointed out, only, you know, what, the half sack this year. Last year, he had over 11. But he's leading the team in pressures, and he's leading the team in pass rush productivity. He's just not closing the deal.
He's close.
He's got 15 pressures, only one sack. Armani's only got 8 pressures, but he sealed the deal 4 times.
Correct.
For the sacks.
And that, as I mentioned yesterday, it will come. That domino will fall. When you get close, you're getting close for a reason because you're right there.
I was like Khalil Mack for a while.
Correct.
And he broke through, and now all of a sudden he's getting sacks.
And again, not to shine bring out a negative, but how long have we heard from this locker room and these coaches, where we'll hear from Jim O'Neill here shortly, but like, we're close, we're right there. Well, right there is you go from being bad to being really good. You know, and I think we need to take the step on just being good.
Good.
Before
yes.
we get to get real good or the great.
Yes, indeed. All right, let's go to Jeff in California. He tweeted me, he's on hold waiting to make his first call. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hi, this is the... I just want to thank you guys for having a great show. I started listening after last season.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, it's been really great. I enjoy it, but just don't tell my wife I'm on the phone.
Your secret is safe with us.
I know, thanks.
It's public information now, though. Sorry.
I know, really. Well, she won't know. She's not listening. But the one thing I noticed when you know, I'm listening with the, like, we have the coordinators on today, I listen to the player quotes and the coordinators after. What I've noticed with the offense is they seem, when things were going bad, they take responsibility, and when things are going good, they don't take any credit. And like you guys were saying, that the light came on a few weeks ago, and they decided, you know, this is who we're going to be, and we're going to make that change. And with the defense, all I hear is the same thing over and over again. I hear excuses, and I hear no one taking responsibility. And like you guys are just saying, we're close. I mean, what does that even mean? Don't we scout ourselves? Don't we have coaches? Don't we have a quality control coach who scouts us and they tell the coordinators and the coaches these are the type of things that I would go after if we were playing us?
We do. And thank you very much for the call. And just to shine a light on that, Jeff, thank you very much again for calling. Is you do have a quality control guy or self scout? It's just very difficult to do throughout the season. A lot of that happens and will happen in that middle section of the season when we play that Thursday nighter. and we have that extra time or during the bye week. And I know in some cases it may be a little too late. But in regards to his comment, I think he's absolutely right. Our offense has conformed to what's giving us the path of least resistance for success. And I don't technically know if we have a finger on what that is defensively. And it seems like we're trying to put a square peg in a round hole each and every week.
Well, hopefully we can figure that out because the defense of the Broncos is the best that the Browns have played so far this year. It's the best in the NFL. And the Browns defense is going to have to step up in what could be, end up being a low-scoring game. And the Browns defense are going to have to do their part to keep the Browns in this one.
Let's keep Mr. Perfect going.
Dun, 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 dun. When we come back, we're going to hear from the defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, Jim O'Neill, as he talks about what this team must do to right the ship on that side of the ball.